In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last fall, the world mourned the death of the High Priest of Pathos, Canadian poet and songwriter Leonard Cohen, who was also known as the Godfather of Gloom. He was 82. Most people know him for his song Hallelujah from 1984, which was resurrected in the 1990s through a reverent version of it by American singer Jeff Buckley. And Hallelujah became a kind of secular hymn. Not surprisingly, a deep and abiding spiritual life was important to Leonard Cohen. He believed that everything he wrote was liturgy. Now, while some might recall his interest in Buddhism to the point of becoming a Zen monk, Cohen himself thought of that as merely a discipline for meditation. "I'm not looking for a new religion," he said in an interview in 2004. "I'm quite happy with the old one, with Judaism." Cohen's paternal grandfather and great-grandfather were presidents of the Montreal synagogue where he was raised, and to which he maintained a connection for his entire life. His maternal grandfather was a Talmudic scholar. "I had a very messianic childhood," he once remarked. "I was told that I was a descendant of Aaron, the high priest." His second album, released in 1969, included a song called "Story of Isaac." Written by Cohen, it retells part of today's first reading from the book of Genesis. "Well, the door, it opened slowly. My father, he came in. I was 9 years old. And he stood so tall above me. And his blue eyes, they were shining. And his voice was very cold. He said, 'I've had a vision, and you know I'm strong and holy. I must do what I've been told.' So we started up the mountain. I was running. He was walking, and his axe was made of gold. Now the trees, they got much smaller. The lake was just like a lady's mirror when we stopped to drink some wine. Then he threw the bottle over. I heard it break a minute later, and he put his hand on mine. Thought I saw an eagle. Might have been a vulture. I never could decide. Then my father built an altar. He looked once behind his shoulder. I guess he knew I'd never hide." Now, as somebody with blue eyes who is tall and the father of a 9-year-old son, I can hardly read those lyrics without shaking, either out of fear or out of anger. Most Jews refer to this story about Abraham and his son Isaac as the Akedah, the binding. Leonard Cohen's version takes us right up to the point in the narrative when Abraham is about to tie up his son and place him on top of the wood on the altar that he has just finished by hand. Most Christians, oddly, refer to this same story as the sacrifice of Isaac. That's, of course, the very thing that doesn't happen in the end. Regardless of the title we give it, this story is gut-wrenching for Jews and Christians alike. It's difficult to hear regardless of our faith or lack thereof. In spite of the grace that appears at the last possible second, like a sudden life-giving rain in the desert, we find the prelude to all of that barbaric. What was truly barbaric, however, was the fact that child sacrifice was a common practice in many cultures throughout the ancient Near East. And believe it or not, it's the end of this story, the story that we heard, that would have surprised those ancient peoples. And we have more in common with them than we would surely like to admit. Leonard Cohen knew that because his song shifts gears from the biblical narrative to our own narrative. Cohen doesn't sing of the binding or the saving. Instead, he addresses directly those who stand where Abraham stood, singing, "You who build these altars now to sacrifice our children, you must not do it anymore. His words bring to mind the anniversary yesterday of the worst date in British military history, when 19,240 men fell at the Battle of the Somme in 1916. Referring to the trench warfare of World War I, one person shared a related family story on Twitter, noting that 101 years ago, his grandfather went over the top with the Seaforth Highlanders, a sergeant at sunrise, a captain at sunset, no one else left. And Cohen's plea reminds me of the time I officiated at a graveside funeral at Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia. Not only is the President of the Confederate States of America, Jefferson Davis, buried there, but also 28 Confederate generals and more than 18,000 enlisted men of the Confederate Army, including some 7,000 bodies reinterred there from Gettysburg Battlefield. And the anniversary of that battle is also this weekend. To describe all of those enlisted soldiers as men, however, is not to tell the whole truth. I had arrived at the cemetery a little early for the service, so I took a short walk to the nearby Confederate section, and I soon found myself surrounded by the graves of hundreds and hundreds of those soldiers, and most of the headstones with dates on them testify to the fact that these were really teenage boys, and they had their whole lives ahead of them. The difference between the hills of Hollywood Cemetery that overlook the James River and the unknown mountain in the land of Moriah from Genesis is that Abraham wasn't cut off from his future. The promise that his descendants would bless the nations of the earth had seemed like a flickering flame that was about to be extinguished, yet it wasn't. But Abraham, he hadn't always been so trusting in the God who had called him to step out in faith. As Ellen Davis, an Old Testament scholar at Duke Divinity School, puts it, you might remember those stories of Abraham passing off his beautiful wife Sarah as his sister when they were traveling in foreign territory. So Sarah gets taken into the royal harem as a concubine not once, but twice. And Abraham gets protected status as her quote-unquote brother. God never told Abraham to do that. Abraham did it because he was scared. He might get killed if someone wanted Sarah, knowing she was his wife. Abraham put Sarah in that terrible situation because he did not trust God to pull them through the danger. Professor Davis, later reflecting on the binding of Isaac in relationship to Jews who kept their faith during World War II in the ghettos and in the Nazi death camps, writes this. She says, this harrowing story exists to help people who already believe make sense of their most difficult experience, where God seems to take back everything they have ever received at God's hand. This story appears front and center in Genesis, where no reader of the Bible can miss it, because the hard truth is that the world turns upside down for the faithful more often than we like to admit. The 22nd chapter of Genesis, she writes, is the place you go when you do not understand at all what God allows us to suffer and it seems asks us to bear. And the last thing you want is a reasonable explanation, because any reasonable explanation would be a mockery of your anguish. The story of Abraham and God and Isaac is the place you go when you are out beyond anything you thought could or would happen, beyond anything you imagined God would ever ask of you, when the most sensible thing to do might be to deny that God exists at all, or to deny that God cares at all, or to deny that God has any power at all. That would be sensible, except you can't do it, because you are so deep into relationship with God that to deny all that would be to deny your own heart and soul and mind. Just before the Jewish High Holy Days last fall, Leonard Cohen celebrated his last birthday. His gift to himself and to the Jewish world was the release of a new song, hauntingly beautiful, called You Want It Darker. Some of the words come from the Kaddish, the Jewish prayer of mourning. Others, and not for the first time in Cohen's songs, might even hint at Jesus, at least to Christian ears. Magnified, sanctified be thy holy name, vilified, crucified in the human frame. Cohen seems to acknowledge that he was in the sunset of his life as he sung, "If you are the dealer, let me out of the game." But he does so with a profound trust in the Lord and looks back to the Akedah, which is read during Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year festival, at the beginning of the High Holy Days. The refrain for the song is the Hebrew word Hineni, which means, "Here I am." It's what Abraham says to God and to his son and to the angel. So Cohen sings, "Hineni, Hineni, I'm ready, my Lord." Cohen lived through those high holy days and died a couple of weeks later. And I, for one, expect him finally to see the face of the Messiah for whom he was taught to long from his childhood. Vilified, crucified in the human frame, Jesus embraces even those who stand where Abraham stood and begin to wonder if God will or even can make a way where there is no way. As the prophet Isaiah says, "A dimly burning wick he will not quench." And that is good news not only for the Godfather of Gloom, but also for each one of us in whatever time of trial we may be facing. We're neither alone nor unloved. Hineni, Hineni, I'm ready, my Lord.